When God speaks, we need to listen. When God is silent, we need to listen to the silence. The Scripture warns its readers several times that we are to never add to God's Word or subtract from God's Word. We are supposed to honor God's Word. We are also supposed to honor His silence. Jesus is the perfect example of how we are to treat God's Word and God's silence. That's right. How did Jesus treat the Word of His Father? How did Jesus honor the hushed silence of His Father? Jesus took God at His Word. We know that Jesus believed God because He obeyed God. You see, faith is always demonstrated by obedience. Jesus demonstrated His faith even at the early age of 12. He had gone with His parents to worship in Jerusalem. When they left for home, Jesus' parents thought He was with others of their travel group. When they discovered Jesus missing, they went back to Jerusalem to search for Him. After 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. And when His parents saw Him, they were astonished. And His mother said to Him, "Son, why have you treated us so? See, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And He said to them, "Why are you looking for Me? Did you not know that I must be in My Father's house?" Luke 2:46-49. Another English version says, "Did you not know that I must be about My Father's business?" When Jesus was about 30 years old, He went down to the Jordan River, where a cousin of His by the name of John was baptizing people for the remission of sins unto repentance. When the baptizer saw Jesus, he did not want to baptize Him. John knew who Jesus was, so he told Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to Me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then He allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:13-17. It is no wonder that John thought Jesus should be baptizing him, because Jesus, you see, had no sins. John did. But Jesus' reason was to fulfill all righteousness. Psalm 119:172 says that all God's commandments are righteousness. God gave John His commission to preach the coming of the kingdom and to baptize people for the remission of their sins unto repentance. This was one of God's commandments. To be baptized by John fulfilled righteousness. It fulfilled the commandment of God. Jesus was obedient even to a commandment that had been given to His cousin John. When people are baptized in this age, it is not John's commandment that they are obeying. It is the command of Jesus. In Jesus' great commission, He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. Yes, Jesus was obedient to God's commandment, even if it was given to someone else, given by John. Shouldn't you be obedient to Jesus' command to be baptized in water? Even Jesus' earthly ministry of teaching and helping people was according to the will of God. That's right. After being away from His hometown for a while, Jesus returned to Nazareth. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Luke 4:16-21. Jesus' ministry was scriptural. That is, everything Jesus did or said was in accordance with his Father's will. This is the way he wanted it. This is the way he intended to have it. This is what he did. He obeyed his Father's will. In the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus found this passage in Isaiah to be his commission to heal and to teach the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of which Jesus was speaking was an ordained period of time when God would receive sinners to himself. It would be a period of time set by the Father in which he would accept people. It is like what we call today an open enrollment period. Friends, we are still living in the acceptable year of the Lord. This is why the Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." We are still living in the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. This open enrollment period will last until the second coming of Christ. That's right. But don't wait too long to obey Jesus Christ, friends. Jesus is coming again, but we do not know the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time when people can come to God. Don't be too late. When Jesus and his disciples were passing through Samaria, they stopped for a rest at Jacob's well at the foot of Mount Gerizim. The disciples went into the village to get some food while Jesus waited at the well. In the meantime, a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus asked her for a drink. And then the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" John 4:9. Well, Jesus began to tell her about living water that could quench her thirst forever. Well, she became interested. The conversation moved along to the point that the woman was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, the Anointed One, sent from God. She went back into the village to tell people she knew there what she had discovered. In the meantime, Jesus' disciples came back with some food, and they tried to get Jesus to eat, but his attention was turned toward the village, where he saw a multitude of people coming towards him. He said to his disciples, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Well, the disciples began to scratch their heads and look around and say to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Well, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." John 4:32-34. Well, Jesus was completely focused upon finishing the work that God had given him to do. Oh, how I wish that we all could be so diligent to be about our Father's business, to finish the work our Heavenly Father has given us to do. Jesus was watching that crowd of Samaritans that was coming out of the village to meet him. He said to his disciples, "Do you not say that there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Well, look, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." John 4:35-36. A great harvest of souls needs to be reaped while we still have time. Jesus, of course, was talking about the human harvest of souls. He was talking about the salvation of those Samaritans. That's right. Yes, a great harvest of souls needs to be reaped while we still have time. The night comes when no man can work. Jesus was obeying the will of his Father by passing through Samaria on that day. And he was also doing the will of God by teaching that woman so that she hurried back into the city and brought out the whole town to hear Jesus. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." John 4:40-42. Yes, friends, Jesus lived by the will of God, by all of the will of God. This included all that God had said that pertained to Jesus, and it also included what God had not said concerning Jesus. That's right. Do you remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion? Jesus asked God to let this cup pass from me. He asked him 3 times. The cup referred to is Jesus' separation from his body the next day, and at the same time, the separation of his soul from the presence of his Father. But God's answer was silence. God had no other plan for the redemption of mankind. God had no other way for himself to be justified in forgiving sins and allowing sinners to go free. Jesus honored the silence of his Father and gave himself into the hands of Judas and the wicked rulers of Jerusalem. This is what God had predicted, and there was no other way. God had spoken, and what he spoke excluded all other options. He did not have to enumerate the things that he would not do or that Jesus would not do. All he had to do was say exactly what would happen, which he did, and then God was silent. Even Jesus honored the silence of his Father in heaven. When Jesus pleaded, "Let this cup pass from me," God provided no other way. He simply handed Jesus the cup. Jesus took it and obeyed his Father. May we have the same kind of faith and obedience as exhibited in the life of Jesus. Let's honor the Word of God as well as the silence of God.